Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. But this episode is very special. It's mucho importante to me because I have the double OG, the godmother of this podcast. That's right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Yes. Told you I was going to sing a cheesy old song for
you.
Yeah,
that's good.
Heidi Swap is in his house. Let's go.
This is like legit.
You know what? It's not too shabby. It's not too shabby.
This is it's a little step. It's a step. It's like 27 step flights up.
Yes. Like my marriage to my wife, it's something I definitely don't deserve. But hey, win's a win.
Win is a win.
As being an adopted, abandoned child, I'll take anything that I can get. You know? I don't care how I got there. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I know the smartest guy in the room, and he doesn't hate me. So that's my goal.
You know what? I'm sure that you helped. You helped everybody. So everyone owes David something. And so that's how he gets what he wants.
Well, you can pay me in Pokeballs and just calling some people and say, hey, you know, follow what this guy's doing, you know, pay attention to what's going on. And it's really exciting for me because Heidi, we've had like text message back and forth, and you know a little bit about what I've been up to the past few years, and I know a little bit about what you've been up to this past few years. So I'm really looking forward to just start off by jumping into, where's Heidi been? Okay. Like I know that your followers know you've been, and I know people that will be watching this probably already have a lot of knowledge and information about what you're doing right now and how the past few years been. But there's other people that don't know. So I really want to just start off with, talk to me about what's going on in your life. And, you know, it just so happens that those of you guys who are watching this on YouTube, I'm wearing a shirt that is, I don't like to play fair. So I knew when Heidi was coming here today, I'm like, what could I wear that could cause her to be like, dang it, now I have to be vulnerable. So if you ever listen to any of our old Light the Fight podcast episodes, it was always like part like, I'm so glad I could be a part of this podcast and help. And I hate you, David, for making me the example of what other people should or shouldn't do sometimes. So Heidi was always she would go out into the real world and then she would have problems and come back and report them. So it was just like kind of live therapy. She's the reason why we have that disclaimer, I'm not your therapist, on this podcast. But it was really cool because so many people were like, yeah, what she just said. Like, so you were just like the voice that people would, I used to always call you our correspondent, our shame correspondent.
That's
the
right.
Person would go out in the world and be like, here's what I'm ashamed of. And then we talk about
amazing
it.
Amazing how natural that would come from.
Yeah, a natural. A lot of Costco parking lot conversations with the moms, oh, Walmart parking lot, Harmon's parking lot. So those were all the good conversations, the beauty shop conversation. So yeah, just talk to us a little bit about what you've been up to lately. And, you know, of course, we're going to address the elephant in the room. We know what month it is. People don't have to tell us what month it is. And we don't really necessarily go out of our way to make this month a bigger month. But, you know, we can talk a little bit how we got here as well.
So do you have 5 hours?
Yeah.
Sarah, settle in.
This should be part one of the Where Heidi Has Been podcast.
No, seriously. It's really fun to be seated here with you. It's going to make me emotional.
That's why I wore the shirt, you guys.
Like, I felt fine. I was like, I didn't bring Kleenex. I wore eye makeup. And so, you know, this could be really bad.
You didn't get the assignment, did you? You forgot what the assignment was. I'm wearing the Corey.
Stable.
I'm wearing the Corey Memorial Wolf shirt, which is amazing. And I'm wearing my Corey Vans that I wore on stage for my TED Talk, which is also, I only wear these for special occasions. So yes, you're going to get emotional. Let's go.
Well, it's fun to be with you. It feels like, I mean, it's been a long time since we recorded a podcast episode together.
We've talked,
and every time I see you, it's just this, like that best friend that you just pick up.
No
with.
Love lost.
I'm sure that's how everybody feels with you because they've told you their deepest.
No, darkest. But for us, for definite, we'd have an hour conversation, our podcast, another hour conversation for like 5 years straight.
Yeah. Yeah. And the things that I learned and the way like the fight shaped me has been so impactful. And I mean, if we were to go back, so just for a little bit of context, in case you're like me and it's like time is warped and wild, Corey passed away 10 years ago. And I think that it feels like a million years ago, and it feels like last week at the same time. And that's how it has always been, because the feelings and the emotions and the memories are very, strong, entrenched. And the beautiful thing that the gift of time is that it hasn't erased my memories, but it has blessed me with perspective and with understanding and proof that I could grow and that there was still hope. Corey's story lives very largely in our families every day. I'm so thankful for that.
He's not forgotten.
And I remember there was a long time I just didn't know if I would ever be able to say that I was thankful for any part of it. And learning to be thankful has been a real project. That's something we could make a course about, I think.
It's
12 weeks ago.
The first episode of the online clip, I'm like, I'm effing thankful. Okay, you fine? You happy?
That and
Scoot, would you mind just probably this? We might need some Kleenex.
We probably do need tissue.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate.
I have a waiter. I can just.
Yeah, that's not the move. Yeah.
So it is pretty wild, and so when that happened, I think it. Is fair to say that it really felt like my life kind of burned down. And it, like everything at that point, at that point, everything that I kind of believed and thought, like that I was doing right or that you were supposed to do, I had to rethink it all. And the Life, the Fight podcast was so critically important for that process to take, for me to start this little rebuilding process.
So you didn't get stagnant and stuck. You every week it kept you moving and talking.
Right.
Yeah.
And learning how to talk about it. For anybody who's gone through anything that's hard, talk about it. Oh my gosh, David, I video journal.
You do?
I freaking video journal.
Oh my gosh, miracles do happen. She was the most stubborn person I've ever gotten into this assignment to.
I do not like it, but it works.
So just real quick, just tell people what video journaling is. I told you. I have a
Marco Polo account with myself. How embarrassing. Because I don't want it on my phone. Like,
no, yeah,
oh my gosh. Do not do this on your own phone. So
just tell the followers, because I haven't done a video journaling episode in a while. Just tell them what you do.
Okay. Scooter, write this down. Video journaling next episode. Video journaling is literally the worst possible form of abuse. No. So here's what, and David would try to get me to do this, where you would like look in your own phone, you would look in the camera, and you would talk into the camera. And it's like this barometer. Can you look at yourself in the eye and say those things? Do you look like you want to kill someone? Yeah. Are you afraid? Are you, you know? And so you, I do it when I'm really struggling. And so they don't look good. But if you can get through it and talk, and I'm just very much of a verbal processor. Yeah. And so you talk to yourself. And then when you go back and you're like, whoa, it is very, first of all, it's very, very purging. What'd be the word? Cathartic. To say, to speak those things just to yourself. Like you're not sharing that.
You don't even realize we're in there.
Yeah, you do not share. Do not share.
Yeah, do not share these with anyone.
And you know you're not going to share. And you know it doesn't matter what you look like. And saying things that you need practice saying. Like it's a powerful, powerful tool.
And also it gives you a mirror too, because when you're saying things like, let's say you're talking about how frustrated you are about someone close to your life, and then you look at that video and you're like, so that's what I look like to them.
Right.
When I'm going through that, because all too often we don't really know. Like even my wife's like, why are you getting so upset and angry? And I'm like, I'm not upset and angry. And then I'm like, look in the mirror. I'm like,
wait a minute.
But I'm wearing, take a picture. Yeah, but I'm wearing the facial expressions of someone who's upset and angry just because I didn't feel that way on the inside. I didn't know how it was showing to the outside.
And so, and your tone of voice. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you're going to have to loop back around to that, because that is like, if you really want a truth bomb, it's going to happen in the video journaling. Anyway, just lost track. Okay. So that Light the Fight era was this really powerful time. And I think, I don't even know how many episodes. There's a lot of episodes.
So give some of our newer listeners context. So she and I started this in March of 2017.
So it was 2 years after Corey passed away.
2 years after Corey passed away.
How many times did we record the first episode?
A lot.
Four?
A lot. So it started off with, I had a radio show at ESPN 700. And I'm like, hey, how do you feel about coming on? Because obviously after you lose a child, especially in such a tragic way, you know what I mean? It wasn't time right away. But then you came on and did two episodes on my ESPN radio show. And those were the two biggest episodes the radio station had, like those days, the whole entire week, even on their daytime shows. And so we saw we had something there. And then one day she called me up. She's like, okay, I'm ready to do a podcast. I'm like, are you sure? And we're like, no, maybe we'll see.
I think we actually did like a community event first. And that was hard, scary. I knew it needed to happen, and we had talked about it. And I wanted to, like, I don't know if you guys can just take yourself back to 2015. We didn't talk about suicide openly. It was not a conversation in schools. It was not a conversation in communities. It was not talked about openly anywhere. No Safe UT app, you know.
Well, they had it, but in 15, they didn't have it. They were just starting to work on it.
And we knew there was a problem. It wasn't like it was not a problem, but there was.
Wasn't on the news. It wasn't center stage.
Right. And there became an epidemic.
Yeah.
And Utah was topping the charts of the world. And I am happy to tell you that Utah does not top the charts. That's not to say we don't have a problem anymore, but the conversations are working. And what was happening in the schools, what you guys did at Harriman, it's so fun to talk to the administrators at Harriman because they saw the needle move. And I don't know, it's fun for me to talk to students. And okay, so we would do this Light the Fight podcast, and people would approach me, you know, he mentioned Costco and he mentioned Walmart, and it doesn't matter, concerts, Newport Beach, yeah. Bora Bora, freaking, I'm on my 50th birthday trip. I meet someone who's like, oh my gosh, I listen like the fight. I'm like, okay,
wow. Podcasts are weird like that. You have no idea. You're like this little mini micro celebrity that some random person knows who you are.
It was just wild. And nobody needed to listen to that. unless they needed to listen to that.
Yeah, you know, ours was not an entertainment podcast.
Well, unless you really
laughed at us, but it wasn't meant to be entertaining.
And I still, in fact, that has not slowed down. You would think that because it's been 4 years or something, that has not slowed down. The women that listened then, that were panicky, that were struggling with their kids then, are panicking about different stuff now. But
well, our podcast, like our numbers, we were going out just the other day because, you know, I'm asking my producer, I'm like, is people still listening, still growing? Like, we don't promote it. We don't really do it. Like, we're not big on social media. We put like a reel up every now and then. But back then, it was very, very telling because the episodes that we did back then, we look at our numbers now, they're still being downloaded and listened to now. So it's still relevant. That information 10 years ago, it has that shelf life where it's not changed. Like our concept stuff we're talking about, you know, because I use social health approaches to help your mental health. I mean, we look at our numbers now, it's like, man, some of our earliest ones are still like people are going straight to those ones and then they're starting there and moving their way up. So, yeah.
I think that the thing that we used to talk about was that, you know, as a mom and you watch your kids struggle and you kind of try, you try this and try this and try this. David was like 25th. Like you had to really be going through it to finally listen. And I think a lot of us realized that we were living in a time where what worked for us previously with what worked for our parents, it does not work.
Yeah, parents used to have it so easy. You could just shame your kids and they'd listen.
Oh my gosh.
Like now they'll like record you. They'll get ChatGPT like, mom, that's actually unhealthy for my mental, emotional well-being.
Oh my gosh. The number of kids that actually record their parents yelling at them.
Yeah.
Oh, and then just get the numbers on TikTok. Like you wouldn't just like, you gotta be careful. I'd say
5 years as a teacher at Harriman High School, the only time kids recorded me doing something, it was because of something funny and we laughed about it. I'm like, don't record that. But never said anything that was controversial.
So. No, you have changed lives. And I've heard from the parents and I've heard from the kids. And it just makes me happy. And you know, what you're doing now with the social health movement, with this, with the spin, with the actionable stuff, with this, like, you know, the thing that I still talk about the most is talking about how suicide is a stage 4 situation. If you like consider that like stage 4 cancer or, you know, something that is like to the very, if you've got someone attempting, obviously that is the most serious. But what do you do at stage 3 or stage 2 or stage 1? And when does stage 1 start? With the smoothie that you hand the kid when he's 2? I mean, this needs to start now. And that's what I love about social health. And I have to just have to feel my little teeny part in knowing like the conversations that we were having, the workshops that we were teaching, and that like wading through what resonated with people and what parents responded to, the questions that we were getting, really created the foundation for that social health, actionable, teachable, like this is how you do.
Well, and it was you were the one that inspired me through those workshops. And now it's evolved to we can scale it. So with the online content, and there's so many ways to put curriculums up there online. So that's part of what we're doing with social health now so that we can get it out there to the masses as we're raising money to give to schools for free. But we're also going to have business professionals, life coaches, therapists, whoever wants to get certified in social health. I think a lot of people understand the basic concepts. Maybe their brand or their company's already aligned with social health, but when everybody's calling it something different, it can't be scaled. It can't be agreed upon. And we had talked about a couple episodes, like everybody had to agree that cancer is called cancer. Math is called math. You couldn't agree that like, what if one school called it numerical learning? The other one called it digital numerical development. Like, if you just had all these different names for it, you couldn't switch schools. It's not an industry you could study it in. And so that's what I found out with mental health, that mental health, even though as necessary it is to help people when they're at stage 3 and stage 4, it wasn't for the masses.
And the reality is the other thing that we talked about all the time. And if you've been a previous listener, you know that you have responders and you have overreactors, right?
Yeah.
Me, classic overreactor. And that's what you do when you have a crisis, is you overreact. This social health gives you something to proactively work, like to do, to make it a practice in your life. And a lot of times, like, you're not having to worry about treating somebody's cancer until they have cancer, right? But preventing
low inflammation diet, you know, what you eat. Yeah.
I think that there's some things that we automatically think, and this is me. There's some things that I thought you happened to you no matter what you did. Alzheimer's. Okay. I thought everybody gets it. I mean, because everybody in my family's gotten it, right? My mom, her mom. Nothing I can do. Even like with a teenager, somebody who's struggling and having suicidal thoughts, like, nothing I can do.
It kind of reminds me of like, well, I'm just my mother's daughter, just like her, just like, it's just my DNA, you know?
And sometimes if we're living in this very unconscious state of it is what it is, not realizing that when you start taking like those tenets of social health that you teach and those pillars about relationship with yourself, relationship with others, relationship with adults, relationship with, you know, like your bosses, these skills, these life skills change everything. Change everything. Change the entire trajectory. And hopefully we're in a place in our society that we're realizing you have to.
You know, this touches upon something, one of Heidi's biggest insecurities when we were first doing the podcast was she's saying like, David, like, I'm not a mental health professional. Like, who am I? I'll just say it loud. She's like, I lost my child. Why would people want my advice? It's like, just to know what not to do. And she quickly found out that that's the beautiful thing about social health. If you look at it for what it is, it's just relationship health. She is a relationship person. So she was a natural at this. You were an expert in your day-to-day life. That's how you ran your business. That's how you connect with people. That's why you grew your online social media so much. That's why it's your name, image, and likeness, right? It was your ability to connect with people. Not knowing that when you compare yourself to like, I didn't go to school, I'm not a professional in these areas. And I'd always have to remind her, and I say it on the podcast all the time, like the best therapist or counselor isn't necessarily always a therapist or counselor. It could be your friend's mom. The cool lady that you met at a booth at an event that you thought you were just going to go there. Next thing you know, you found a connection with her. And there's, even if it's a trauma bond, it's a connection. You're like, you're crying together.
Trauma bonds.
I went to some random bear. And next thing you know, I'm crying with this lady. We become best friends. I'm following her on the podcast. So Heidi found that it's really a bigger space for people to work with, because if you don't talk about the problem, it only gets worse.
Yeah.
And I think this might be a good little segue into this to talk about like kind of what's going in our country right now. I saw a reel recently, and I'm just going to give a little disclaimer here on this podcast. She and I, you can go through every single episode that we had. I mean, if we do the DMs and the regular episodes, it was like 300 plus episodes, right? And you can go through every single one of them, have chat, have AI scan through. It's like, look for any political weirdness, whatever, religious talk, not going to find it. We know our lane. We just do what we do. And if we were to talk about one thing versus another thing, then we ostracize one group of people versus another group of people. And my approach has always been like, I don't care if you're white, black, Asian, gay, straight, atheist, Mormon, Catholic. It doesn't matter to me. I don't want your kid to die of suicide. So whatever you need me to be, I don't have strong opinions on anything except families got to stick together. Communities got to stick together. And I'd seen a reel just the other day. A friend of mine sent this to me and he goes, hey, check this out. I was like, what? And I look at it. Of course, it was a Charlie Kirk reel because that's the new thing, right? My wife had no idea who the guy was. And now she's like, wait, what's going on? She's trying to figure out. And our podcast, we're here in Utah. So he sent me this reel, and the reel just simply had Charlie Kirk saying on the reel, when moms and dads, because someone asked him, like, why do you go debate at colleges? He goes, when moms and dads stop talking, it leads to divorce. When neighbors stop talking, it leads to community problems. When business members start talking, when governments stop talking. And he just went down. It's like, we have to talk about it, even if it's hard. If someone offends you, you have to keep on talking to see, was this like a personal attack? Was this like something that was like, maybe I triggered them and didn't even know I triggered them. I had this happen in my own personal life this past week. I got into an argument with the dad and over just a stupid thing at jujitsu practice. And, you know, he said some things to me and I was like, oh, what? Like, you want to fight? I'm like, what? What's going on? And then I said some hurtful things to him. And so we squashed it the other night, but it's like, just things happen where you're like, everybody's going through a hard time. And the whole Charlie Kirk thing is like, regardless of what, I don't know how people, just regardless of how people feel about it, I want to have a little talk about it, because we've been talking about social health for a long time, which is just relationship health. We've been talking about, hey, can we all just get along? Can't everybody win? We both believe if there's more winners, we're better off as a community. We're better off as family. Now, not everybody in our family we're going to agree with. Not everybody in our community we're going to agree with. But I have to believe that we all have this one major thing in common as human beings. We all needed someone to take care of us our whole entire life, or else we'd be dead right now.
Yeah.
I was adopted. I needed a grandmother to adopt me. Thankfully, my Samoan grandmother did and raised me with the culture, right? We all need friends. We all need people around us, but we're mammals. So from the time we're born until late into adolescence, we can't do anything for our survival. And it's because people care about and love us in our community, our families, that we can get old enough through protection and provisions and food and resources that we can then go provide for ourselves. And when we have that giving back nature to our community, when we have that, like, wow, people help me, I need to respect my neighbors. I love how in the Polynesian community, you know, growing up, my grandmother didn't care if it was a Black, white, Asian person. If that person helped our family, she goes, that's your auntie. That's your uncle. I mean, yeah. If I didn't call them uncle, I would get sasad when I get home, which means hit. No joke. Like, it's, I'm not promoting violence against your kids, but it was almost like that, like, it meant so much to say, if you don't respect your neighbors, if you don't respect these people because they've helped our family, and trust me, there are some people I called uncle and auntie. I'm like, I don't even like these people. But my mom was like, well, they paid, they let us live here for free when we're broke. I'm like, okay, I'll keep my mouth shut. Right? Like, you learn how to, like, keep things personal to yourself and don't have to say everything out loud. And I was wondering from you, not just the thoughts about the whole Charlie Kirk thing, because I know that's a touchy subject, but I do want to have this talk about, like, I think this is the opportunity for society to realize we better talk now. What has happened in this past 5-6 years? I'd say that 2020 Trump election started in 15, but definitely that 2020 election, it created something that people are like, talking to each other is not the move no more. We have to go to our own groups and we can't talk with other people who disagree with us. And for me as a professional with this, and you as a mom and knowing, that's scary when people are not even going to talk. When people will say the most horrendous, horrible things about someone else, because now that person, you can't justify talking with a person who's pure evil. And whether someone hates Trump or hates Biden or whatever, I'm like, does that mean all the people that have those belief systems, now they have to be hated too? I just can't wrap my head around that. And I know you can't wrap your head around that, but those are just kind of some of my thoughts. I just wonder, what are some of your thoughts?
I think that our brain, I think that it's a human nature kind of thing to, like, categorize people, right? Like, oh, here's all these different categories of people, whether that's
ethnicity.
Whether that is a religious situation, whether it's an age group, whether it's a college that you cheer for, whether it's a sport that you're on, whether it's down to, like, your friend groups.
Yeah.
Like, at every level, groups are formed and categorized, and depending on how you align, whether there are things that are no fault of your own or not something that you could control, you're being lumped in one way or another.
What family you're born into, what's your last name, you know?
And I had a situation where, and I have very, well, if you want to have a conversation with politics with me, I'll be completely honest. I don't align perfectly down the line on a side.
I think most people don't.
I very much like cherry pick. I like this about this and I like this about this. And
you're like a la carte, right?
Yeah. And when I talk to somebody that has that perspective, different than me, then I might be like, oh, I actually didn't think about that. You know, I can see why that, you know, I really, in all honesty, struggle choosing a lane. I can't. I don't, there's not one that works for me. And I don't know if it makes me spineless. I've been called that. Because recently...
Because some people think you have to pick a team.
Well, recently I had an incident happen, and it made a group of some individuals really want to know what I was. And
so they didn't just take your, because it's easy to dismiss it. Most people, some people just keep on going.
Well,
I'm pretty persistent about knowing.
I mean, yeah. And in genuine honesty, I don't declare a side. And so then it was like, well, you live in Utah, so you're probably this.
Well, that's like saying, are you a BYU or Utah fan? I cheer for them both. A lot of people don't like that. You can't choose both.
Right. Nobody really does. Yeah. Actually, there's a lot of people. They're just like, who's BYU?
That's true.
And it's not that I don't care. It's actually not that I don't care. It's that for me, in all sincerity, it's about the people. It's about the person and not about the group for me in any situation. Abortion, any of the LGBT, from trans to marriage to adoption to religion to any of those.
Can't generalize any of those situations.
We want to so bad. We want to
make it easier if we can just make a quick assessment.
And this is wrong. But when you drill all the way down to that person and that circumstance and what is going on in that person's life, all the way zoomed out to like, I mean, you want to talk about tariffs and what it's done to my business and how what I have always done and what has been easy and what has been great for me is not. And I can have all my feelings about, you know, is this real? Are we being deceived? And what's really happening? And is this fake news? You know, like, wow. I can't even wrap my head around it. And so.
Even if you did it all day long as a full-time job, you couldn't wrap your head around all the different nuances and different angles. And
so for me, it's about that one person. And in honesty, and we've said this before, and there's nobody that you meet that if you actually knew their story, you wouldn't love.
Amen. That's actually how I felt. I brought up that thing, my jujitsu thing. I'm like, dude, I'm sure if this guy and I just sat and talked about this, like, sure, he's going through his stuff.
But
you know, I'm stressed out about my stuff.
But sometimes, here's the thing. We want to keep those people at such, humanity. We want to keep those people at such a distance. We don't have to know their story because there's
we know if we do know their story, there's a chance they could soften our heart.
There's this chance that we might be just like them.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think there's this.
Or we may not be right in our stance.
Right. We might have to cave.
Concede and be like, okay, maybe I'm not right in every situation.
You know, it's just interesting. I do believe, you know, I am a member of a certain of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right? I'm a member of that. And I love and support lots and lots of gay people that are married and happy and living beautiful lives. And in fact, you remember Ezra?
Yeah.
So Ezra got married awesome. The cutest guy, and they are the greatest couple. And I had people messaging me and saying, I had a bunch of messages that were like, thank you so much for loving and supporting these LGBT kids. You know, like, thank you for being that. And then this whole group of, how on earth can you possibly support? If you are what you say you are, how can you possibly support? And I'm like, I love these boys.
Did you give them my Ziggy Marley quote that I was saying? Love is my religion.
I should have just started sending the DMs straight.
Started saying like the memes, love is my religion.
And so finding perfect alignment is not, I'm not even worried about it. I'm very distraught about what has happened. I'm really distraught at the response. Like, it's brought out things that I didn't even know really existed at that level. And it's a pretty strong indication that social health is a crisis.
Yeah. Want me to share what I think about when I started seeing people like, now, I don't know how people feel about what I'm about to say, but I can preface it with, I hear people say some pretty crazy stuff behind closed doors in private with me because they know it's confidential. Like, I'm a professional secret keeper. I can't, like, you know, I'm working with someone. And so people will start to say, wow, I mean, some crazy wild stuff. And I work with a lot of youth that have been suicidal, gone through horrible things. So I'm not saying that. When I saw those videos of like everybody seeing a people congratulating it, the first natural is like, wait, what? But right when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's happening. I knew it was going to spill over at some point. I could see this trend happening where everything is a confrontation and a fight. And I'm not speaking now specifically about the Charlie Kirk thing. I'm thinking about just human beings in general, about combative energy. I've proven recently that, you know, if someone comes at me, I can go to a combative place. And I also realize that I've worked really hard to pull back and I don't stay there long. Like, I'm not going to actually fight someone unless they attack me or attack my kids, right? Like, I know when to stop. Like, you know, like there, I'm like, okay, I got work tomorrow. I got two. I, you know, like, I just, nobody is like, we're growing people right now. But the younger generation, they're not as familiar with combative energy. The combative energy that they get is usually online and less in person. And so when their only experience is combative energy online, that's not tangible. You can't touch it. You can't see it. You can't feel it, right? It's not someone like actually standing over you, like, give me your lunch money. Like, when we grew up, bullying had to be face to face. There's no bullet writes you a 5-page letter and then mails it to your parents' house, right? And so I see part of the challenge. This is not the biggest issue in general, but when I watched those videos, I was like, oh, it's happening now. I knew people were doing it in small little silos, but now there's one big gigantic thing that the whole entire country and world is looking at. Just so happened to be in our backyard, freaking 20 minutes away from where our studio is right now. And when I saw people doing that and I saw the reaction of people over here, I'm like, hey, you guys should not be surprised that this is the reaction. Hey, you guys that are reacting this way, I'm not surprised that you feel this way and you're that you feel like this is a war that you have to fight. I'm looking at going, oh my gosh, this should not be a shock to anybody that we just needed one thing for everybody to be like, it's like a lot. It feels like there's a line in the sand, mm-hmm. right? It feels like the people who feel like they've been marginalized and the people who feel like they've been treated horribly, they're like, this is our time to mock our oppressors. This is our time to attack power. And like, they're vulnerable and they're weak. Let's attack them. But they're validating because we've been attacked this whole entire time. I'm not saying that's right. Okay, just to be clear, I'm just saying on both sides of it. And I've had clients recently. So when this happened with Charlie Kirk, my phone's been blown up for two different reasons. One, people going, hey, I feel some sort of way because of this. Can I talk to you? And they're all in the 20s. These are people I haven't talked to in a while, old clients. So I go, yeah, we can talk about it. Then I had people that are hitting me up for the curriculum, the business stuff. It's like, hey, when can you get the social health thing going out there? Like, we're socially unhealthy. Like, this is a huge thing that we need. I feel like we're 5 years behind at least, to get this into schools and to get this out. But I wanted to share, sitting here and watching what's going on, kind of like what you're saying, I'm like, this is important for us to not pick a team or a lane. This is important for us to create a new lane that doesn't exist. I don't think there's any avenue or any pathway, at least that I'm aware of. If someone message in and say, oh, there's a new political party, there's a new political movement, whatever, we are doubling down on what we just call relationship health. Your life is better, even when it's hard, if you have people that love you and care for you. And when those people also talk to people outside of those groups, and they're, like you said, a la carte, they're grabbing other information, then you can still learn from other people's experiences while still protecting your own community, while still being a part of, you know, like part of what you do. And our whole entire event that we're doing on October 17th, that we'll be posting all over social media soon, we're doing it the day before the BYU-Utah game for kind of a metaphor of what our country's going through. And I'm inviting people to bring to wear their Utah jerseys, their BYU jerseys. We're going to put everybody in a big event together. And we're going to say, hey, this is our lives. If you feel some sort of way because someone's sitting next to you that cheers for a different team and you hate that team, that's fine. But you don't even know that person. You can hate the team, but that does not require hatred for the person. And I think it's a unique thing here in Utah. They call it the freaking holy war. Like, just the fact that they call it that.
It's wild.
It's pretty wild. Like, this is not a normal... It's top five college rivalries, and Utah and BYU aren't the biggest schools, but because of that uniqueness of like red versus blue, like Utah is definitely more of a liberal school in general, and BYU is a more conservative school. But guys that I love played football at BYU, and they love me. So it's this weird thing. After the game, we don't have any problems with each other. So we're just trying to bring that type of energy to this event because, like you're saying, Heidi, like we kind of need social discourse and social health more than ever. What are some of your thoughts about?
Well, when you're sitting there and Utah, you bring up the BYU Utah thing, and I grew up in a family that was like super U of U. And I,
all the Mormon prophets were U of U fans, by the way. So I just like to throw that out there to all my BYU buddies.
There became this moment where I decided I was going to go to BYU. And it was like a weird, I'd never talked about it. It was like this decision that I made that I didn't plan, that I just knew that's what I was going to do. And I remember, I mean, it, like my dad, well, you can't go, I'm not sending my money to, you know, like kind of some of this stuff. And, you know, if you think about this BYU Utah rivalry, and it's actually, for me, it's fun.
It is fun.
You know, like, I mean, it doesn't upset me. So great. But like, if you take these players out there and what these football programs have become in the last 10 years,
yeah.
Pretty amazing
yeah,
football
grown.
Programs. And if you just like could, if there was just this little knob where you could just like rewind these kids 15 years and see them playing
in the parking lot, like in the neighborhood.
When they were like little babies, when they still got, when they still cried when someone tackled them from behind, you know, like
when the helmets were too big, moving all around in their like heads.
The fact that these guys are playing on this stage, that
living their dream.
They are they're so excited. They don't care they're playing. They're not mad. They're down there like, thanks for being here. You know, and I just want to teach everybody some breath work. It's been really powerful and transformative for me. I feel like the whole world needs breath work or something. Like, let's just take it down. Because we can't blame, like, I do not blame.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. You to access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Anybody for being in this hyper-vigilant state. Because I get it.
There's a buzz throughout in the world, this buzz of anxiety. Everybody's been on edge since the pandemic, faux show.
And you know, here's the thing, and we kind of started talking about this a little bit. You were like, what are you up to now?
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, like, I'm off on my own crazy journey that actually, this is probably like a full circle
it's
moment.
It's been a circus, but continue.
Yeah. Is there such a thing as a full circus? Yes, that's what I have.
Exactly. That means you're the lion tamer, you're the trapeze artist.
All those things. Okay, so zoom out. Like, let's zoom out. And on my little journey, 10 years ago, obviously when that happened with Corey, I had to really start questioning who I was. And there's a lot of things in my life telling me who I was, what I was, whether that was a religion or my family, the culture. Like, all of the defined gender roles. And I found myself bumping up against the walls that I was supposed to be.
It wasn't graceful at that time.
New. and it hasn't been since. And I was like, wait a sec, this isn't working. And this isn't working. Because I'd really tried to be in this very, like, rutted lane that my mom did, that my culture did, that my religion did, that women my age did. That
here's the path, just follow it, don't
just
think
do this, yeah, just do this, right? Yeah. And if we could go back to, like, maybe the second or third episode, and I don't even know if you would remember this, maybe you would, what were we talking about? What shame were we talking about? Was that my daughter wanted to go live with another family because they were happier.
She wanted to hang out there. They're all in good mood all the time. They ate
that
healthy.
That mom was happy.
They worked out all the time.
That mom was fit. Frick. You know?
Really, how can I not remember that episode? We had like a 3-hour conversation after it.
And at that time, whether this was talked about or not talked about, we were talking about my health shame, my physical health shame. And at that time, I was very bad at sleeping because I was working a lot. I was very bad at eating.
Because you were working a lot.
Because I was working a lot. When Corey passed away, I stopped cooking and it became fast food. I would fuel myself with caffeine and cookies. And
preach.
I'm wondering why I feel like crap, right? Like, okay. And I had a couple of dreams, and I don't remember if I ever really talked about it on the podcast. I know that you've heard me talk about this, but the dreams were Corey playing with a bunch of little kids, like either at a park or in the mountains. And Corey would look back at me and say, "These are your grandkids, and you better get yourself healthy so that you can enjoy this, because they're going to need you." And like, of all the dreams that I could have, or all the things, I mean, obviously, when we dream, I'm sure
your
that
your shame's even in your dream.
I shame dream. I have dreams of shame. And like, if there was something that could like get me,
that would
take
be
take Corey, take my future grandkids, and take my health that I can't even handle.
Unfair. That's just unfair.
It was like three strikes, you're out. Yeah. And I, so at that time, and you remember, like, I went to Movara, which is this. My kids love to call it fat camp.
I don't think that's in their marketing.
I don't think it is. But whatever, you know, speaks to the teenagers. At that time, I mean, I had bladder control issues. I don't remember if we talked about that.
We talked about that.
That's why
the podcast works so well. Mom's just sit there. We got all, like, she had all the things that everybody has, right?
What I did, you know, at that point, I didn't even know what perimenopause was.
Yeah, we learned that live on the podcast.
You guys are like, she's really angry.
This is before ChatGPT, so how do you just tell us all these womanly things? I don't know if I should be in this conversation.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So then I go on, I have a hysterectomy. And this was in 2020, so kind of on the tail end. And if you want to really experience womanhood, get a full hysterectomy and see what just happens. The next 9 months, just gonna watch as the implosions, like boom, 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 boom. You know, it's just like this implosion, right? Your whole body falls apart. Then your mind falls apart. Then all of your systems fall apart. And you're like, was this the plan? And then, you know, you've got kids getting married, kids in high school, parents falling apart, needing their diapers changed. You know, like, I was going through like every possible end of the spectrum, and not okay. High levels of not okay.
And stage 4 not okay.
I mean, yeah. Because I'm also trying to like show up on social media. And I remember the day that I went into my hormone to like get on HRT, hormone replacement. And the woman who was taking my blood, and I'm sobbing my brains out, and I'm can't even fit in my pants. And she's like, "Huh? I mean, I follow you on Instagram, but this isn't what I really expected. This isn't what you're like on Instagram."
You're all saying my persona online is a little bit happier than I am right now.
And I'm like, it takes every ounce of energy that I can to show up on Instagram and to be excited, and then like catastrophically, like lay on the floor for the next 25 minutes to try to pull myself back together. You know, like I was having a hard time. And so I decided that I needed to start taking hold of my health. And it wasn't actually as much the dreams about being a grandma, although those were there. I saw my mom go from being a very healthy, active, capable individual, and she was diagnosed with a brain disease called primary progressive aphasia, which is a form of dementia. And nobody could really tell us anything about it. We didn't know why. We didn't know what caused it. We didn't know anything. In fact, it's what Bruce Willis has. So there's a lot of Bruce Willis stuff in the news. And so he has the same thing. You lose the communication center in your brain. And
just took my breath away just thinking that with me, because that's like, that'd be rough.
You just, if you haven't gone through it, where you watch your parents crumble, which I know you have.
Alzheimer's, yeah, with my mom and dad.
that was a wake-up call for me, except that I thought, well, I guess I'll just prepare myself. I guess I'll just know that Alzheimer's is coming for me. I guess this is just what I have to look forward to.
That'd make you want to eat some cookies and drink some unhealthy caffeine.
I'm like, how do we get the early eject? Like, this is not cool. This is not okay. And I'm like, okay, I need to get healthy. And I get the hormone therapy. I start lifting weights. I start actually eating. It took a long time for me to actually start like eating actual protein.
We're always most protective of our favorite sins. For me, don't take my gummy snacks and my chocolate chip cookies.
You know, I'm listening to podcasts all the time, every single day. There's no Netflix binging. I have no idea what any of those specials are. There's no reality show. I am listening to like Huberman and like all of these longevity people going, wait a sec. So you're saying there's a chance?
I mean, you can eat, sleep, do sauna. You can do all these different types of things.
Wait a minute. If I sleep, my sleep.
Wait, my breath is erratic and I'm always stressed out. Like what?
Wait, what is nervous system deregulation? What are you talking about? Freaking out what?
And think about a cultural thing, the shift from our generation, from our parents. I would say my parents and all the parents before then, they might as well just, you were raised by cave people. Like parents you no honor our family. Like you gotta leave the house. You don't dress.
Yes
this
or
way,
no, black and white, no black choices, white. Nothing in between, right?
And the responsibility we have to not just do that for ourselves, but then be an example to our kids with the new information knowledge we have.
So, what I realized in this whole situation is that there is a mind-body connection, and that healthy bodies beget healthy minds, and that healthy minds beget healthy bodies. And when you are feeding your mind with trash, social media scrolling, endless binge watching, brain rot. The word brain rot. Oh my gosh, don't even joke about that. If you're joking about brain rot, if your kids are joking, take them to the old folks home. Because that is legitimately what's happening. Okay, woo! I'm gonna calm it down. So here's the thing. So if you're feeding your brain that, and you're feeding your body McDonald's, which frankly, I was. 2 cheeseburgers on the quick. Like I got to get here.
And not once a year. It's more than once a year.
And and when I should be asleep, I'm eating that shiz, right? Your feet, like think about what's happening in our world. At every single age, that we're trashing our minds and we're trashing our bodies. And then we're surprised.
We're just living to fight the next day. We're just trying to hold on for the next day.
And then we're like, oh my gosh, no wonder.
You brought up something. I just want to say this and have you go on about it. But like, what you said is so true because you didn't say it this way. But in psychology and therapy and in my own personal life, and I think everybody's experienced this, you don't have to be a therapist to experience this. When we are able to manage and overcome our own vices and impulses, like impulse, like eat unhealthy, spend money that you don't really have. When you're able to do those things, immediately your self-confidence and self-esteem goes up.
Huge.
It's just like a teeter-totter. One goes up, one goes down. When you're giving in to your vices, so for example, one of my specialties, because I work with young men, starts with a P and ends with an pornography. And this is Heidi's favorite topic when I bring
it
up.
I don't get uncomfortable at all. Neither do I get uncomfortable with the word masturbation. I love it.
But I used to say it over and over on the podcast.
Just say it.
I'm like, this is what I have to deal with on a day to day. So when I'm working with a young man, I mean, just good young men. And
I'm sorry, but you can't even say just a young man because it's everybody.
Well, I'm saying when I'm working with a young man, because that's the larger pool of young men, but I would be lying if I didn't say men as well too, and even girls and women. However, when I was working with young men and I'd see this mass confusion that they were thinking something's wrong with them to cause them to have desires to go look at those things. I'm like, dude, you're an animal. Like we have biology. Like this is not, like you're born with 2 addictions on the hard drive. Eating addiction and sexual addiction, like, because you need both of those to survive and procreate. Yeah. And so I just started seeing right off the bat, it's like, the weeks that the young men would look at it daily and just be like, ah, forget it. I'm screwed. I already did it. I'm just keep on going at it. They didn't take action in their life. They were not assertive. They did not send it. They didn't ask the girl on a date. They didn't try a new job. They were not brave and admirable. And I'm not saying that they're bad people, but it dulled all their assertiveness, all their bravery, courage, all the things that you need to do to go anywhere in life, right? And when they didn't do those things and they weren't looking at it, and it's the same thing with my clients that have eating challenges and disorders, when they're able to make just some sort of progress towards self-control, the self-confidence always went up. And I think that that's part of what we're talking about for you, but we're seeing a whole culture now. Our vices are just right there for us. It's click, click, boom.
Well,
it's
when we're talking about away
from getting Uber Eats, from getting pornography, to getting out, you can get alcohol delivered in some place in the country, get marijuana delivered. And all these things are right. I mean, not right. All these things are ripe for people to do if they want. But when you have that easy accessibility, it doesn't ever allow you to be really uncomfortable and figure out coping mechanisms. And then next thing you know, you got to have your son being your dream to turn you around and have your mom to go through it. She's been through it, turn you around. But what do you think about what I say? Do you agree with that?
1,000%. And I think even like science is catching up, right? Because even science is telling us that more powerful than any drug that anybody can go on is, in terms of optimizing the way you feel, is going outside and getting morning light, is moving your body, is eating real food.
Touching grass, ground, sand,
yes,
air. Yep.
I mean, you wonder why
you're off all your devices late at night.
David and I are so happy when we go to Newport, right? Sand, water, sun, and tacos. This makes people happy.
Yeah, that's why people will stay and live there and can't afford to live there, because just like you're living on vacation. When I lived in my hometown in Carlsbad, I never went on vacations. I couldn't afford to go on vacations. Every day was a vacation.
That's right. And so I think that, so actually, interestingly enough, I started a new company.
Yeah, that, let's hear about it.
And it's just a baby. And, you know, it also... like, I wouldn't want to do something that was just like right in my comfort zone ever, because why would you? So it's actually called The Shift. It's called The Shift Collective.
Love it.
And it's what I needed 5 years ago when I got my hysterectomy and when I looked in the mirror and didn't recognize the person that was there. And it's confronting women's health in a way that we just haven't been taught. We haven't been prepared. Those of us who are hitting menopause right now, our moms didn't do hormone therapy because of the culture of healthcare when they needed it. Many of us are looking around. If you look around and you see the women in our culture that are older, they have slowed down. Many times they just kind of put themselves out to pasture. They don't really want to keep up with the technology, so that technology kind of starts separating them. As soon as you stop doing the things that you love because you have no energy, because you're tired all the time, because you're grouchy and mad, these are real emotions, right? You stop losing your social connections. You stop losing your confidence. You start not lifting stuff up anymore. You start not wanting to get the Christmas decorations out, because what's the point?
At a cellular level, our bodies begin to prepare for death. Our brains begin to prepare for death. And our bodies begin to prepare for death. And it's based upon one simple thing: you don't matter anymore. And that was the struggle I had. I'm so glad you brought this up for later age.
I mean, just feel like, if you're listening, feel what that feels like in your body, no matter what your age is, no matter what your gender or your sex or your religion or your ethnicity. Feel if you matter, first of all to you, then to your family, then to your coworkers. Right?
Yeah.
Because as soon as you don't matter to you, that's where it starts.
Yeah, you know, and Heidi knows this because I've been telling people about these two books for a long time, but the two best books, at least that I've come across, that really articulate what was just said, one is called The Village Effect and one is called Tribe. Village Effect is by Susan Pinker and Tribe is by Sebastian Unger. And they just take a lot of
And they get
social...
a little bit lost in this. Yeah. They're a little heavy. So
they get a little
Tell
lost.
Why.
However, they both do a really good job taking different types of research that shows like how come certain people live long? How come certain people are really affected by a tragedy versus other people that went through the same thing aren't as affected by it? And it was about belonging, connection, and purpose. And that's why in the Native American tribes.
I just want to say that again. Belonging, connection, and purpose.
Yep. Those were, because, you know, in the Susan Pinker, The Village Effect, she quotes, and we talk about this in our presentations, she would quote this one research that was done with a bunch of nurses, and there's like 14,000 nurses, something like that, that were all diagnosed with breast cancer. And so for a 14-year study, they followed them and they found out that the nurses who overcame said breast cancer, the number one determining factor was not what doctor they saw. It, like all these things that you would think would be like, did they change their diet? Did they do this? According to the research, that wasn't the determining factor that got those women over cancer. They said, you have a 64% more likelihood of overcoming that breast cancer based upon one simple truth for these women, if they had a couple girlfriends to go to lunch with. And they said the reason why is because when they wanted to give up, the girlfriends wouldn't let them. The girlfriend said, you are going to do the treatment. I think one case it showed is like, I've already been through chemo twice. And she's like, if I have to go through it third time, I'm gone. They're like, no, it's not going to happen. And then it happened. And then the girlfriend's like, no, we will force you. We need you. And so when she saw that her friends needed her, that's what the research shows, that she couldn't give up and die unless she had some sort of confirmation that people would be okay if she died. When she found out that her life benefited their life, her brain was hardwired through thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Well, if you're still needed, get your ass up. Like, you ain't dying. Like, there's nothing. Like, your kids need you. And in that same book, she was in villages in Italy. Great, 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 great grandmothers were alive at 100 years old because they were not getting school lunches for their kids. Waking up 5 o'clock in the morning, making the pasta, but they would make all the food for the kids, the neighborhoods of families, and those grandmas would be going around. They mattered. So it's just that belonging, that connection comes from what do you do to other for other people that make their lives better? I think we can both agree upon, I believe our listeners would agree, that life is hard, man. And when you make someone else's life better, that person looks at you different. Yeah. That person's like, I couldn't have done this without you. Thank you. And then your brain's like, huh? I helped. I matter. And then you get this kind of
Scooby-Doo again. That was just like, that really brought me back.
little call back. It's like, wait, I matter? Like, I'm not a piece of crap like my mom growing up told me or my ex-husband or whoever the person, my boss said. Then that's just, it counters all the shame. It counters all the missed opportunities. And we've talked about shame a little bit differently than some other mental adjacent podcasts. We're like, oh, shame sometimes has a purpose. Sometimes you should be ashamed of yourself, the way you act, the way you've done, but that's how you can like make up for it. Cause then you can turn to feeling guilty about it. And if you can turn into guilt, then you can change it. But right there, if people know that they matter, they can't easily give up. And mentally, psychologically, physically, emotionally, your cells, your muscles start to break down if you're not using them. 100%. Well, what would cause you to use your muscles? Your grandkids wanting you to play. That has been the number one thing with people 50 and 60 years old when they come in to work with me throughout the years. There's something that happens in the 56-year-olds like, okay, I'm no longer a spring chicken. No matter how I look at it, I'm on the downhill slope. Now, what is going to be my quality of life? Well, for a lot of these people, their quality of life is being around to be with their kids and their grandkids. Well, how can you be around them and be active around them and go take them to the park? You can't go on the boat and go wakeboarding with your grandkids if you can't even walk. Like, where's the fun in that? Would you just want to play online games with them all day long? No.
No. So, I mean, in general, I think I am feeling this call to the moms out there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so the shift, it's for women, obviously, but moms probably more specifically?
Well, I think, and probably ultimately, it's going to have to be for men too. I don't know. There's a whole vision.
Hey, Lululemon sells men gear. They sell their gear.
That's right.
What's the anti-Schubert's?
If we start with women who, when you go through that perimenopause stage, and what happens is, I think, your kids need you less. And you're like, yay, hallelujah. And then you're like, oh. And so it's just me and this guy. I've been here for 30 years.
Well, what do we do now? Like, they don't need us.
And you kind of have an identity crisis. I think that that goes along with it. And what has been your identity and your purpose and your belonging for all those years that you were a mom shifts.
The matter, like what makes you matter.
What makes you matter. And the reality is, look, your kids always need you. They do. They want free food. They want you to entertain them.
They want forgiveness.
And the problem is, and here's one thing that I learned, as your estrogen lowers, so does your desire to nurture. Okay, so this is biological. I just want you to know that if you're all of a sudden like, I don't give a rip about any of you, it's because your estrogen's low, which is okay. Your hot flashes are high and you do not care, right? I mean, there's this big, huge joke on the line.
On the line? You can watch it on the YouTube?
You can watch it on the line. That's like this, we do not care club, you know? And because here's the problem is, you care so much.
Well, and it shifts differently for men too. They become more sensitive, and women start being like, "Oh hell no, I'm putting up with that crap no more." That was day one in psychology.
You know what's happening with men is that their testosterone is turning into estrogen, and you might see it on the midsection. Just saying.
Yep.
So the way that we eat, the way that we sleep, like all of those things play into not just our health, but into our mental health. And I'm sorry, but you can do all the kumbaya and you can do all the mental health work, but if you're not taking care of your body, you're never going to feel good. And if you're not taking care of your body, you're never going to feel good in your mind. And if you aren't doing the work, moms, no one else is going to do it. And the single most effective way you can influence, and we talked a lot about being a parent influencer. This was like the crux of what we were teaching, is how do you have that power to be an influencer as a parent? This was the thing, like, how do I get my kid to listen to me?
Well, we used to talk about your mental health and your physical health here, but if you don't have the connection health, you don't know how to connect with the women, your children, the community, you're not likely going to fall through in those other two categories.
Right.
We're social creatures. Like I said, like we need people, they need us. And so, yeah, your physical well-being, eating better and sleeping better usually is easier to do if you're not fighting with your kids and your husband and or so the people at your jobs.
Then when you start taking care of yourself, something happens.
You manage stress a lot better. Everything.
It's your confidence. Yeah. Your confidence goes up. You feel better. Now, this doesn't mean you don't have like the days or multiple times during the day. I would love for that not to disappear from my life. But it also starts to ooze over and people look around and they're like, oh, so we're eating cut up veggies. That's what we're eating. Okay. You know, I had an experience. Anyway, last year, it's been a year, and my daughter, Capri, who at the time was 2 days before her graduation from high school, and she was in a pretty gnarly golf cart accident of all things. And so, yeah, most people don't ride around golf carts in helmets. And I don't know if you, in my neighborhood, I see these golf carts just whipping around kids, just having a great time. And we live in kind of a hilly area, and there was a bunch of kids on a golf cart, lost control, two nights before graduation in Capri, took all the impact on her face. And, you know, as a result of multiple things, it put me into some pretty serious PTSD, which we talked about PTSD. I was just in TD.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't ever graduated to the PT.
Yeah. It was never post quite yet.
No, I was still in it. But
it was Capri, P, but the P was for present. Not post. Present traumatic stress disorder.
When Capri got in that accident, it opened up this can of PTSD that I did not understand.
Yeah, for our listeners, don't let the golf part of it not. It was pretty, like, when you sent me the pictures, because, you know, I'm not active online. You sent me the picture, I'm like, what the frick? I was like, whoa. It looked like she was in a head-on car collision.
It was devastating.
Yeah. And she's lucky to be alive.
She was lucky to be alive. And it took her a long time to feel that way. And it started me, mom, down this really ugly road of being mad and this isn't fair. And why do I mean, I'm not even the one going through it. I was real mad. And I thought we were doing all the right things, right? Like we shouldn't have to have these hard things. I love to believe that. I love to believe that if you're just doing your work and doing all the things, you don't have to have hard things.
Yeah.
In that time, it's been a year now, this girl, like the two of us, had an evolutionary experience where we learned that we will be happier when we take care of ourselves. And when we help each other take care of ourselves. And when we prep food together, we both eat it. And when I say I'm going to go to the gym and say, invite her to come to the gym, then she came to the gym and she felt better.
Because waiting till everything gets horrible to start working on those things is not a good feeling.
Except for that, that's usually what.
Yeah, that's usually the motivator. But if you can continue it and keep it going after those horrible situations, then it just becomes a part of your day-to-day life.
You know, obviously now, as she comes out the other end a year later, having grown in ways that she would have never grown.
And so was that whole entire thing, that's what you're saying, that was the catalyst to the shift?
What happened was I had had some injuries. And I had a hamstring tear and a rotator cuff tear. So I'd have two surgeries in 1 year.
Oh, dang.
And then this accident of hers happened. And I didn't know what PTSD meant, really. I didn't know what that felt like. But I was living in a state that I'd never experienced before. And I didn't know how to get out. And the anger and the animosity and the inability that I had to calm down or to see anything good or to believe anything good or to be hopeful. I couldn't work. I couldn't have fun. I couldn't relax. I couldn't be excited about anything because I was so mad. Well, I didn't know that I was stuck in extreme fight or flight. I didn't know how to switch out of fight or flight. I didn't know that I had access to that. And so I met this breathwork guy, taught me how to cold plunge, of all things. I know.
It's not by accident. It's very popular nowadays. It's obviously working.
And I learned how to take control of how I felt with my breath, with something that I could actively choose to do. And
so that's where it started.
That's where it started. What I realized, oh, so I can take control of my life. I can.
Isn't it weird that you're like in your 50s and you learn that?
Yes.
You didn't know that was on the menu the whole entire time, huh?
I didn't even know. I never believed in meditation.
Yeah.
I never believed in
video journaling.
The power, yes. I never believed in the power of manifestation and taking control of your mind and really managing your mind, which is very difficult, but
that is
very powerful. And I think as we sit here in this time of our world, and we're scrolling, we're brain rotting, and I'm not gonna say that I don't, because I do.
Yeah.
And we're looking around and it's just bad news, bad news, bad news. And you're listening to the news, bad news, bad news. And you're listening to the reels and you're listening to the TikToks and it's bad news, bad news. And the longer that you sit and listen to the bad news ones, the more they come.
Yeah.
Because isn't that brilliant? And what starts to happen is we start to have this mental picture of the future. And it's ugly. Because that's what we're seeing. We're like, damned here's the proof.
Damned if we do, damned if we don't.
Yep. Here's this ugly future of just hate. And we can see it. And we start to think, there's nothing I can do. This is where we're going. And I'm doing this in my house, and you're doing it at your house, and my neighbor's doing it. Everybody is thinking, we are on a crash course to terrible things. But actually, we don't have to be, right? There could be a vision of the future where this created a domino effect into people listening and talking.
And it starts in every individual person's mind, though.
You have to actually believe it's possible.
Yeah.
When you go...
That's why they say you are what you eat, you are what you think, too.
If negative thoughts can make you sick, happy thoughts, positive, optimized thoughts can make you healthy, right?
Or at least less crappy.
If you go to the dentist because you have a pain, you're imagining in your head, I'm going to feel better,
yeah.
Right? You can imagine it. You're like, oh, get this taken care of, I'm going to feel great. Can we separate ourselves for a minute from the negative reels, from that algorithm? And can we believe that there is a possibility of a time that people would listen to each other and love each other? Because if we can believe that, that's going to be the first step.
You're right. We have to believe it. We have to see it. Do all that, like we just, we and have as to will we
start,
that happen.
As we start working this in our own relationships, first of all, with the relationship with yourself, watching what we say to ourselves. That's a real hard one for me. We all know.
You don't need anyone else to shame you. You can do a good job just by yourself.
You're doing a great job. Number two, how are we talking to the people who are closest to us? What do we believe is happening in our family? Like,
are we monitoring?
Are we just always going to hate each other? Is Christmas just going to be terrible?
Are we looking at our relationships with the same scrutiny and the same desire to grow them the way we are our wealth and our money? I think for most people, that's a no. And I think that's what you're working on, because we talked offline before about, you know, about the shift and about the collective and why, obviously, you've done the, you know, the craft stuff for a long time, the do-it-yourself stuff, but because of what you went through, it's now created just this natural organic evolution, because back then that's what you loved to do. And now you still have a passion for it, but now what you've been through is also what you love to do.
I was having women write into me and saying, I love what you're doing. I love this class. I love this collection. I don't even take pictures anymore. I don't even go anywhere. I don't even have anything to write in my journal. And I was like, is that are we giving up? Are we looking around on social media and saying, there's just so much better than me, I'm not going to do mine? Like, it scared me. I've always wanted to empower people. And I think that like the fight was about empowering. It was about, because that helpless feeling of I'm really worried about my child and the things that they're saying and the trajectory that I feel like they're on, because I got in that time machine that we used to talk about on Light Fight. We used to talk about this time machine. You get in and you would like, this is exactly what I'm talking about, right? The time machine. You get in and you're like, this is what I would say, you guys. This is my confession. If you can't pass this math test, how are you ever going to, how are you going to graduate? How are you going to get a job? How are you going to support family? How are you going to graduate college?
And I would, 30 years in the future.
Oh my gosh.
Based upon today.
Okay, I'm triggered. It's fine. But I'm not even supposed to say trigger. That's not the word. I'm activated. What did we say?
I just got tired of saying trigger, but let's say activated. I started making up different names.
So here's what would happen is I would put that vision
out there.
Like, you can't do anything. If you can't do this, you can't do anything. It's bull, right? We all love that time machine so much, right? What if we really believed? What if we gave our time machine a chance?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to have happen. That empowering moms, and that's what we did. That's what Light the Fight did. It changed the whole conversation. Moms were like, you mean I don't just have to like constantly be nagging my kid? You mean I can like switch it? You mean I could stop peppering them with questions and make one statement and then they would open up to me?
The classic, work smarter instead of harder. You know, you don't have to do all the worrying.
Like, the fact is that we do live in a scary time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot around there to prove that to us. We don't need anyone to prove it. What we need is to believe there's more and believe, and that if all of us could start having this belief that this is possible, that social health is actually real, that it actually works. And that's what was at the other end of our time machine. Like, what would happen? It would happen because that's how it works, right? What if the algorithm was showing us people getting along and excited to see each other, no matter what hair color you came with to the reunion, no matter how ripped your jeans were, people are just happy to see you. Right? Like,
yeah, no, it's,
I'm referring to a lot of old, yeah, Light the Fight.
No, that's good for our listeners. I think what you're saying in summarizing is it's just an evolution of social health in your own pathway in a different direction. It's still the same concepts, but now it's body, mind, it's everything together. And unfortunately, we're up against the time. This is the first episode. We got to do this again because I got to, unfortunately, catch a flight real soon. But I want to wrap this up real quick by, Heidi, with what you're doing right now, so is this something that women, is there a website available yet? Because you said it's still in the making. And
Still in the making. I actually have a new podcast, which is funny because there's a doctor. Well,
promote the podcast.
I'm the problem. There's a doctor that helps. And we bring in other women and we bring in other experts to talk about, like, just mostly health and wellness stuff. It's called The Shift Podcast with Heidi Swap and Dr. Von Watts. He's a functional medicine doctor.
Awesome.
That is helping. And it does have like the fight vibes. I was just going to say that I don't cry, but I actually do.
Well, you know, I would be bummed if you didn't cry at least sometimes. And that's perfect for, like I said, the avenue and the pathway that you're just naturally going down right now. And I saw you post about The Shift Podcast. So please, you guys, go follow The Shift Podcast. And it's on pretty much all podcasts.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we're learning. It's kind of like throwback to, you got to get your reps in. It's going
to
take some time.
I love it. I'm interested to hear what you're talking about in this new evolution of Heidi. Now, and also too, I just want to, I don't know. Are you going to be around the 17th?
I'm gonna be around.
Okay. Well, you'll come by whether you have a booth or not. Well, you'll come by. We're now starting from this episode moving forward. We'll be promoting. We got a big event, the very first social health community connection event on October 17th at the Lehigh Pickler, not Pickle, but Pickler facility, Lehigh Saratoga Springs. So look for that on our social media. And I'm sure Heidi will be posting about that too, because, you know, she might be one of our celebrity pickleball players.
Well, I don't know
if you knew that.
I actually am terrible at it, but I do enjoy it.
Well, we'll have people, you can come beat Heidi to support our nonprofit. But seriously, Heidi, this is so much fun.
I think that, you know, what the world needs now is something to believe in. You know, and it isn't going to be in an ideology it's not going to be in a perfect religious, it's not going to be in a perfect,
you know, we can all, friendly, we can all agree on is what you're saying. Like not like we can, something that we can all like, hey, it feels almost like there's nothing sacred that we can all agree upon now.
Yeah. And I think that recognizing that people matter and that we need each other and that there are skills and there are solutions and that it just creates such a beautiful future cast. You know, like, I think the doom and gloom isn't going to get us anywhere.
I will not try to add anything to that. Bellissimo. Perfect.
Well, it's good to be back. It's good to see you again. Thank you.
Please don't let this be another 4 years or 3 years. Okay.
Okay.
Let's do this again soon. Everybody, thank you as always for listening to the OG Therapy podcast, formerly Light the Fight with the OG herself.
Double OG. I like that.
Double OG. And follow us on all podcast platforms. We're on Instagram, social media. We also have Social Health Initiative. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok on that. Until next time, be cool.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.